Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I was living happily in my mother home when I saw this pretty girl that cost me the room. Living happily in my mother home when I saw this pretty girl that cost me the room. I'm diplomatically speaking to you from a psychological point of view. She caused me to change up my whole life plan. I was living the life of a single man. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 7th of February, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. A good morning and welcome to this week's episode of The Bahamas. There's been so much going on this week and so much that ain't gonna go on this week. It appears we will see. That song we played this morning is called Bangali by Charlie Adamson. That's some old school, I guess you can't even say that. That's some Gumbe, some old school Bayman music. Bangali, show me emotion. If you'd like to join this conversation this morning, you could text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. If you're at home, if you're working and you got to tune in on your television, you can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 969 or on Flow channel 612. Remember, you can always download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices, or you can stream live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. Well, good morning on this week's episode of The Bahamas. All kinds of things happened in the Bahamas this week. What didn't happen was that Dexter Dapp's concert. Ah, boy. If you plan on going to the Dexter Dapp's concert, please write the Ministry of Health and Wellness and seek approval for said concert, because they are saying they have not received any applications, any requests for approval. They didn't even get notice that a concert was happening. Please, if the old folks hear about your concert and know it canceled, ah boy, what does that mean? What it means is that we have to tighten up our systems. What it means is that we need more functional systems to maintain the pace of development that we desire. Oh, the techs are running in early. First techs, where do you find all these good Bahamian music? Also, why are the libraries still closed? Are they trying to keep Bahamians dumb? Now, remember, we got notice that not all of the libraries are closed, but that's a good point. a couple of weeks ago, Warren McCartney on The Revolution was having a wonderful conversation. And one of the things that he sort of distilled in his conversation was the fact that in all of these processes, it seems that the most vulnerable people are always left for last consideration. We look at the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Studies. It appears as if the students and their concerns are always the last to be considered. So one of the things I just want to mention, if you guys want to talk about it, is in today's paper, we see the Minister of Education indicating that there will be a full classroom return this week. The policy decision has been taken that all schools will go 100% fully face-to-face, and the rollout will begin this week on a school-by-school basis, she said in an interview. It turns out that not all of the schools are ready. I don't understand it. It's almost as if y'all don't expect for school to happen in the new year. I mean, it's almost as if we don't have a law that requires that students remain in school up to the age of 15. It's almost like maybe somebody wouldn't notice that there are no fully, properly functioning, adequately equipped schools for our children to go to. And I know for a lot of people, they don't think this is a big deal because, you know, if a child wanted a good education, then they would have told God to bond them to a rich, sensible family, as opposed to a family that has to rely on the public education system. It just doesn't really make any sense, particularly when you look at page 2 of today's Nassau Guardian. You really should pick it up. It's filled with stories that you should take a look at. The headline reads, "Approval of new school raises concern among some connected to other institutions." Now, these are some of the higher-end institutions that are, you know, raising concern. Well, who will speak for the poor children? Who will speak for the children that don't have access to influential and affluent people, right? Whose statements can be printed in the paper. I hate to say it, but we laid the groundwork. We created the infrastructure for educational apartheid a long time ago. It's as if as soon as we got our good education, we didn't care two hoots about what happened to the rest of these children. But it's important because it seems counterintuitive to allow Bahamians to take opportunities that were created for young people to contribute to their country. It's counterintuitive for parents to be hogging up those opportunities for their children, to prepare their children to be citizens of other countries. It just don't make any sense. But we move on. Though I guess this is actually the first announcement that I should have made. Yesterday, Queen Elizabeth II and all the citizens of the Commonwealth celebrated the platinum anniversary of Queen Elizabeth, 70 years since her ascension to the throne. And as Queen Elizabeth is our head of state still, that means Queen Elizabeth's news is Bahamian news. Tell me how you feel about it. Are you proud to have been a part of Queen Elizabeth's Commonwealth over the last 70 years? Are you asking yourself, why is the Queen still our head of state? Why does the Commonwealth still stand? What are we doing? Have we advanced in these 70 years? Do the residents of the countries, or I like to call them plantations, that sit in the Commonwealth, have we achieved sufficiently? Have we achieved enough things to celebrate this? Is it a celebration just for the Queen, or is it a celebration for the rest of the Commonwealth as well. I just thought that was an interesting one. I'd love to talk about it if you want to talk about it. Also, another note, pay attention to the weather forecast in the coming weeks. Do not put away your fur coats just yet. We can expect cool weather till March. I remember in 2013, March, the early part of the month at the Agro Business Expo on the Gladstone Road Agriculture Compound, it was so cold that you could see the breath. You could see people's breath in the night as they were breathing. That's how cold it was. I hope we don't get back there. If you know someone that is unhoused, that is sleeping rough, there's what we call couch surfing. They just move in between family and friends for a couple of days. Make sure that they have the tools that they need to stay warm this month. I got a text that says, good morning, why the mics keep cutting out? Well, maybe that's my bad. Maybe I'm not sitting close enough to the mic. Thank you for that note, texter. My producers have heard it. More on this week's episode of The Bahamas. Minister of Public Service and Foreign Affairs Mitchell says poverty level hits 47%. 47% of Bahamians are living below the poverty line, according to the minister. 47% of Bahamians are living below the poverty line. This may be the biggest story this week, the one that requires all of our attention. And what are we going to do? Because when 47% of your country are living on roughly $5 a day for food and consumables, that's water, juice, fruit punch, Kool-Aid. When 47% of Bahamians are living below the poverty line, this is what you call an emergency. And so I found some stats from the Borgen Project, 7 Facts About Poverty in the Bahamas, written by Carrie Robinson. Now, this document was released in 2016. Wow. This was 2016 when this was released. In 2012, 10,000 people received financial aid from the Bahamian government, an astounding increase from the 3,000 people that received financial aid from the Bahamian government in 2004. And I wonder what that statistic is today, you know, for the year 2021. How many people would have received financial aid from the Bahamian government? And what is going to be our response? Text said, it says, great show as usual, Miss Green. 1,000 lights off on the airport road last night. Also, y'all people need to learn to drive. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to a break, and then when we come back from the break, I'm going to get to more of what's on my list this morning. Minister of Economic Affairs, Halkidis, said government can't regulate markets in response to concerns about rising food costs. RBDF recruitment exercises on the way. Sandals job fair, remember, must bring own union. And then we're going to look at the PLP and local government elections, digital pay services and the cashless Bahamas Air, and traffic. Y'all hear that music? That means it's time for a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about all of those things and more. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Bangalore.
I came from Waikanae-Dulock. Immediately I began to knock. When I looked through the jealousy, what I saw drove me to insanity. I began to tremble, I began to shake. You could imagine I was like an earthquake. Caused me to change up my whole life plan. I was living the life of a single man. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean. I dropped down the door, was the Mecca blue. I put the young man jump out to the window. But make me feel like Santa. Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. I want to say thank you to that texter. We are working on those audio issues. It's probably me. I'm like a little prepubescent teen. My voice cracking all the time, but I can be honest with you. It's just because I am excited. There is so much to talk about today, but I also got to be certain that I'm not ranting, right? Like I wanted to call this whole segment, like Rant Return to Waco on Monday or something like that, right? But there's just so much to talk about. So that last text that I read about Bahamian drivers, I think we can do this little short segment on traffic. I hope you all don't mind. We have to do it. First of all, whoever destroyed the lights at the Marathon and Rubus intersection, right, on Prince Charles, like that right there, whoever did that, what did that light do to you? Why would you have to beat up the light like that? You even had to mash the whole light down. And whatever happened to the light at Nassau Street and Bay Street, right? See, I would just assume that somebody got drunk and then got mad at the light and tried to beat it up and knock it down. But I realized that we have very strong winds on the foreshore, right? On the north side sometimes. And if that light was knocked down by high winds, right? It don't necessarily look like an accident. I know it can't be maintenance. I know the people who maintained the light didn't just take it down and leave it on the ground like that. So if it was strong winds that did that, then hey, we got a big issue because the people responsible for installing the lights and the people responsible for providing oversight for the installation of public infrastructure, you all got a lot of work to do. Right? And this is why the climate change conversation is important and intersects with everything. Because if we are seeing increased sustained winds in particular areas of the country or in the country as a whole, then all of our systems have to be retuned and fine-tuned to align with the new requirements. See, but I was prompted to put in this little traffic segment today because I want to reiterate the importance, right, of the effective, efficient, and functional movement of people, goods, and services as a part of the process of shoring up, expanding, and sustaining your local economy. So Saturday morning when I was on the way to wake at 7:30 in the morning to be at the marathon in Prince Charles intersection and to watch the madness that took place there. This is the first time that I seen a hit and run accident where both of the cars fled the scene of the accident. Not just that, the accident was preceded by another short film. People like to cut a flick on the road, cut a movie, another short film. But I'm thankful for the short film because that reduced the speed of traffic and prevented a more serious accident from occurring. Now, I'm almost certain that Rev Analytics, in partnership with a number of organizations in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, conducted a survey, some research at that very same intersection and determined that if the Royal Bahamas Police Force was enforcing traffic controls in that area, that they could possibly collect millions of dollars monthly in fines. Another point to make, how many vehicles turn right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street intersection this weekend? I could build a bridge, but I don't have the authority to do it, if you know what I mean. And I'm not snitching on those fine men inside the Bridge Authority truck that decided to run the red light on, turn right on red for no reason this weekend. I'm not snitching on y'all, but a truck full of handsome man. Like, that's just too much stupid in one place, though. How could you be foolish enough to commit such an egregious act in a marked vehicle? But not just any marked vehicle, my marked vehicle. That belonged to me. And every time y'all break one of them up, I said Bridge Authority, I also mean Royal Bahamas Police Force. But every time y'all break one of them up, I have to pay for it. See, whether I have to pay for it in tax dollars and cash, or I have to pay for it by having to wait exorbitant amounts of time or wait forever for a police car to attend a scene. It just doesn't make any sense that so many people are struggling to gain access to the resources that they rightfully should have access to build up their lives a little bit. But we keep bashing them and telling them they're greedy and lazy and ungrateful, while those in the political class and those who have access to the resources fritter and flitter them away. I don't even want to call it fritter in a way, because that's such a valuable thing, a fritter. And a conch fritter can be like a thing of gold. Like it could be so valuable when the conch run out, you know? Anyway, the point is, there's just too much slackness going on. And it's the people that pay for it. And it's the poor people that lose out. Because you don't take that money from your paycheck. You don't. You take it from the coffers that have been put aside for poor and vulnerable people. So I was going to ask you all, I had like not even a trick question, I had a question for you all today. What are sidewalks for? I was going to offer a prize. It seemed like a simple question, but it's not that simple. But back to that earlier point. So if you look at today's Guardian, the front page, Smith sues government. Former DAR chief wants over $400,000 because her contract was ended before its completion. I'm going to read from the article, a writ of summons which was dated December 21st, 2021, but only recently served, states that Smith's employment contract went into effect on December 3rd, 2019, and was due to expire on November 30th, 2023. I'm not even going to get into the details right now about what she's asking for. The first thing I want to say is perhaps you should direct your inquiry to the person that called a snap election. Perhaps you should direct your inquiry to the people that have established this convention that political appointees must retire, pack up their Georgie bundle, and go home when parties change, when administrations change, right? Or maybe you could turn to the people that insist that the Constitution created an office of Deputy Prime Minister, since we like pretending that conventions are as real as constitutional provisions. But I want to be polite here. I don't want to be seen as attacking Ms. Smith. But I think the real question is, are you certain that you have performed sufficiently to warrant your contract being paid out? And certainly, do you think you've gotten paid for time served? Do you think there's money that we owe you for work that you have already completed, but you haven't been adequately compensated for? Other questions I could ask are, were you responsible for the dome project directly? Where are the domes? How could two hurricane seasons pass from Hurricane Dorian and people have not been resettled into safe, adequate structures? I'm not quite sure what is happening here. But we're not producing what we're asking to be paid for. And I speak directly to the political class when I say this. I'm just stunned at the audacity. And maybe take a pause there. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Caller, you'll be on the clock in a second. You just stay right there, caller. Ms. Green, about Ms. Smith's lawsuit. Was it ever about country or personal interests? That is why persons fight so hard for political parties. This is so sad when nurses, teachers, and other workers take home pennies. What she did for $100,000 a year more than the PM. This is a national disgrace. Well, I'm not sure if she got paid $100,000 more than the PM. And this isn't necessarily... Let's be easy, right? Because we can't say that this is about personal interests over country. But we do ask the question to people who accept positions as political appointees. What do you think you're doing it for? Is there any job, any position in government that you could take and say you're doing it for personal interests? You work for the government. And that's why the announcement, of the Queen's Jubilee, the 70th anniversary of the Ascension, is so important. Because when you work in the civil service, you work it in the Queen's service, in the Queen's army. And technically, the Queen works for us. Well, I don't know. That's what I was hoping, the Queen works for us. But no, technically, you work for her. And she say, you working for us. Right? So, and if you are working for country that belongs to the Queen, I'd like to see this contract between you and the Queen. But how is it that anybody could wake up and decide to go and apply for a government job and then turn around and say, don't tell me nothing. I'm doing this for my personal interests. Now, we are not attaching that to Ms. Smith. Nobody say Ms. Smith ever said that. I just think That's something that people should really, that's like marriage. Before you join the civil service, you gotta ask yourself plenty of questions. Anyway, let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. Oh, man. Let's go to that second caller. We'll get in. Oh, boy. I am sorry we missed you guys. Callers. To that first caller, second caller, call back, please. Another text here. That's the question there, Aaron. We ask the question about compensation, yet don't want to talk about the quality of the work or what was produced. These topics go hand in hand. You work, you get paid. I honestly haven't seen what she's done yet because many people couldn't reach her. This is it. I mean, it's not just politicians. It's not just civil servants, but everybody in the political class. This is the question. Are we getting value for money? That's why I hope that these politicians have the good sense to never raise the question of a pay raise for politicians, not for the next 10 years. Another text, Aaron, while I could be mad at Forbes's performance and wanting money, I'm really mad at those people that gave her such a good and one-sided contract. Sad. Now, this is the question, right? She was offered the sweetheart contract and she took it. Can we be mad? Well, I could be mad at her, but then I grow up scared of pinches. And it's that thing about working for government. And the courts say you got to come to the courts with clean hands, like equity. And to all of the professionals who wish to work with government for the sake of growing their country, at what point do you sit down and ask yourself, can the government really afford to pay me this? And then ask yourself this, can the people really afford to pay me this? So, producer, let's go to this call and then we'll go to the break after the call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Everything's good. How you doing?
I am great. I met a friend this weekend, and she said that she always listened to me calling Aaron's show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I never seen Aaron in my life. We've never meet in the physical form, but I call her my sister.
Yes.
Because the spirit of you, Ms. Green, I am telling you, it's really a connecting spirit. You're more or less of a people's person.
Yeah, especially if you like mango.
Thank you. Well, I like mangoes anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Ms. Green, how much people in this country think this morning wake up with something to eat?
Well, looking at that new stat, I would reckon that maybe 40% woke up with something to eat, and of that 40%, plenty of them decided not to eat it or to share it with somebody.
Okay, my next question. How much persons do you think yesterday had a Sunday dinner?
Not what we would call a Sunday dinner. Certainly nothing the nutritionists would sanction, and the 2 and 3 meat eaters would look at that and balk and say, that's a snack.
Now, let's go a little step further.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the report that they said that Ms. Kay Forbes was getting her perks and different things. I spoke this morning on Dwight's show. What else, Ms. Green? You mean to tell me some of these people in this country want just like a leash and just take everything because the poor people got to pay that, and right now the poor people ain't got nothing for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to figure out what standards in life some of these people who got these government jobs and positions. And you see your black brother in particular, your black sister, suffering. And you still want more out of them? Come on, man, the well dry.
Yeah.
Mr. Davis, them trying their best. And listen to me. Let me tell you something. I know the PLP ain't got no money to go pay nobody. The only money they need to have right now is to focus on the needs of this country or the poor people. And I told someone last night in the meeting, the only concern, the wit concern is in this country, is the government to focus on the poor. I don't care about the rich. The rich can always find something to eat. The middle class can always have something to eat. I could find something to eat. Aaron could find something to eat. But what about the rest of the people in this country who wake up this morning, Ms. Green, mm-hmm. didn't even find a cup of tea?
I have to look up in the cheering face.
$400,000. You know, $400,000, how much feeding that could do for people, you know, try to put the people back in some sort of shelter?
Yes, sir.
But talking but Sue?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Green, listen to me. You can't say certain things on the radio, and I would never do that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. This is my government, and I want my Attorney General, Mr. Ryan Pinder, get serious with these people. Because guess why? If they continue on in this road, they're taking us as a government who come to stand up for the poor black people in this country as jokers. And we are not jokers. You understand? It isn't that we're playing tick for tack for what they did to former ministers. But if the evidence is there, prosecute them. Have a blessed day, my sister.
Absolutely. And like you say, it's not about politics. It's about showing the most vulnerable people that you're serious about protecting the resources that are in place or should be in place to take care of them. On that note, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk briefly about the Agricultural Development Organization and their donation to the Bahamas Feeding Network. Like I said, I wanted to talk about digital systems and how a cashless Bahamas Air will impact the people. There's just so much to talk about. I saw a winter mango this weekend, and the point that DeWitt raised, listen, we have it within us. We have the wherewithal. We have the resources to create advocacy and activist groups around food security, food insecurity, and food sovereignty. France created a law that food stores and restaurants and major stores are not allowed to dump good food. And we could be providing services to pull good food out of the system that's about to hit the expiry date and give it to people in need. Thank you, DeWitt. You sparked a brilliant idea. I can share it some more after the break. Producer, take us to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the cashless Bahamas here.
I'm diplomatically speaking to you from a psychological point of view. Me to change up my whole life plan. I'm a living the life of a single man. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean. I came from work and needed a lock. Immediately.
Live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Imagine I was like an earthquake. Caused me to change up my whole life plan. I was living the life of a single man. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean. Bangali, show me emotion. Bangali, jump in the ocean.
Good morning and welcome back. Just a quick note. If you come home to your Grammy house and you meet her bussing that song off at extra high levels, be careful. Your Grammy wiling out. I can imagine in her day when that song was banging. I don't know. I just love that one. I agree with you, Texter. That is a sweet, sweet song. Got a text here. Morning, Miss G. We the Bombers should have made a name deal with the Washington football team. to name the team the Washington Junkanooers. Now, look here. This Washington team, that's Washington, D.C., right? I always just saw that they were a D.C. team, right? That part of the U.S. Because if that's the case, then maybe with our presence at the Smithsonian, right, and our history of performances in that general area, it could work. But the Commandos are just as good. Now what we need is a relationship with the team to have the Junkanoo Commandos and other Junkanoo groups perform regularly as a part of their entertainment platform. Another text here, Ms. Green, you are an obvious PLP puppet with your commentary. The issue here is the contract. She agreed to work based on a 4-year contract like any employee would. Just because you are the government, you can't just arbitrarily cancel a contract. Hence why we have labor laws. They are for everyone, not just the ones you favor. Okay. You mean like a puppet like Kermit? Or you mean like the puppets that get paid to fill positions? I just wanted to clear that part up. Because also I said that it's a convention, like the office of the deputy prime minister. It's only as real as we make it. And if people continue to take these positions, then they continue to make the convention real. See, I have a sort of a strategy I'm working on, you know. What we need is for the professional sectors to organize themselves and produce journals, to operate functional associations, to regularly inform the public with both technical and non-technical information, right? So when the government is advertising, when they're hiring for these positions, right? The Bahamian people can say, I know that so-and-so was appointed on merit because I can see their body of work clearly displayed through their professional industry journals and communications versus maintaining an environment where people can pander to gossip. You know, she only get a job because she's a PLP. You know, he only get a job because he's pushed FNM policy. We could do that. And yes, we do have labor laws. But apparently they only apply for rich people, white people, and a political class. If the convention is that political appointees leave office when the government that appointed them leaves office, then that's the convention. If we want to change that, you take a stand before you accept the appointment. You don't play nice and accept the appointment, and then when you are upset, you want to change the rules of the game. You take a stand for everyone, not just yourself. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I got a text here. Okay, I got you. Texter is calling in from Dania Beach, Florida. So, producer, you hear that? They're calling in from far. They say, make sure you keep the mic and the sound nice and tight. And thank you. They say, keep up the great journalism work and being a voice for the Bahamian people. Now, let me just say this. I'm not a journalist, just a media personality, but I appreciate the sentiment that's being shared. I'll continue to try to inform my shows. Just a quick note here. We're not going to get into it heavily. I saw a story this weekend on the Exuma District Spelling Bee, and I want to say congratulations to all of the participants. And if you pick up today's Guardian in the education section, you will see a wonderful story titled The Hunt for Top Speller underway as our young students prepare their way to compete at the 22 Scripps National Spelling Bee. There you go. And they're preparing or competing to represent the Bahamas on the international stage. And so we say kudos to you. And everybody, please read, check out the education section. And if you see a cheering, hail them up, big them up, and encourage them today. Producer, you want to go to the phone lines quickly? There you go. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Green. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Well, as a citizen of Bahamas,
uh-huh.
I advise the government to countersue Key Forcement for breach of contract, for underperforming, okay? Prime example, like you said, what about the domes? Okay? We have yet to get a positive answer what happened to the domes and were the rest of the domes ever erected
mm-hmm.
after two hurricane seasons. So when she's talking about suing the government for breach of contract, they can counter-sue for the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the evidence is clear.
Well, now, you know, these by them don't like to set that type of precedent.
Well, we're going to have to because this is taxpayers' money. We are tired of paying out money to persons who are underperforming.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Let's go to the second caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
How you do?
It is no way this country is going to survive if we sign off on these contracts. Do you know she's making almost three times as much money as a PS, which runs a whole ministry?
I don't even want to talk about the numbers. I just get dizzy.
It's like $2,000 a week. More than that. I mean, like, this is just unsustainable.
Yeah, but let's make it less about her and more about the system generally.
And like, what did she did we see her? What did she do? Did we see any good? I mean, her accomplishment? Abaco in a mess. East Oklahoma in a mess.
Now,
what in a mess?
There's obviously work being done in Abaco. My biggest issue is that I'm not being presented with the information in a format that makes it possible for me to make an assessment of the quality of the work done.
It was like minutes sit down and let them sign off on contracts on like the Oban thing, and like they write the contract, he just sign it. It's like he didn't proofread it.
Yeah.
A minute, they got refined oil and store oil, liability $3 million. He can't be joking. A $3 million a second, eh?
But look here, I got it. Thank you.
The stupidest man I ever.
No, man, you can't say that, man. Listen, okay, so this is a great point to say this. First point, we have to talk about these things, but we also have to talk about these things in a way that doesn't create an unsafe environment for the people at the center of the conversation. So I want to say to Ms. Forbes Smith, look here, we're talking about this issue right now, but we don't mean to create an unsafe environment for you. That's number one. Number two, we can't make an unsafe environment for anybody. And as you know, I ready to write the Queen on her 70th anniversary and ask her if it's possible to write a new part of the Constitution that say, look here, if you call a snap election and you lose and then you don't want to answer any questions, right? And then you want to come back and pretend like you answer all the questions, you can't play no more. Like, I want to write the Queen to ask her that. I'm mad at the former prime minister, I was about to call him the boy, but we cannot create a less safe environment for him through reckless dialogue and discourse. Another texter said she hired Fred Smith as her attorney, so unfortunately we will have to pay up. No, man, that ain't no true. That's true? That's true, oh boy. Well, somebody started to cook out. Somebody start the cookout now. That boy, on his resume, just have, what are you good at? Winning cases against the government. Oh, my. Let's go to this caller, producer. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes. Good morning, on the clock. You spoke really early about unsafe environment for Ms. Smith.
Yeah.
What about the environment for us, the voter, the people, the our assets, okay? It seems as if we just take anybody and put them, but we didn't expect for her to end up to be an anybody because she came from the Senate. She's the mm-hmm. president of the Senate,
mm-hmm.
okay? And she wanted to go and look after the disaster and in a caring way for Abaco and Grand Bahama. But here it is now, the real truth comes out where it is all about the money for me, okay? So how, like the gentleman say, the government should cut a sewer because of her production now, whether it was lackadaisical. Okay? Thanks for letting me share.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. You know what type of precedent that is? I say go for it. I want to see. Like, you chose violence today, sir, and this is the only time I'm down for it. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Miss Greer, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
You all right?
Yes, sir.
Miss Ginn.
Yeah.
I'll be respectful. The reason why is but Kay Forbes, because she brought up Miss Greer.
Yeah.
Kay Forbes, her whole life, was living off of taxpayers. This woman was, okay. was a senator.
I got you. That's an unfair thing to say like that. And to the previous caller, that's what I mean when you talk about making sure that we don't create an unsafe environment, right? For people when we're talking about them in the public sphere. So I don't know if y'all remember a couple of years ago, a person who shall not be named on this station made a series of statements about a director of works and even published, like, on the in the social media discussion, published the directions to her house, right? To her house, her personal house where she lived. And then that person who shall not be named was appointed as a registrar in the space that woman was in. Or maybe he was appointed first and then made the statement. It don't matter. The point is that we have to figure out how we are going to critically interrogate these issues that, like all of the callers and texters have said, have to be interrogated because people's lives depend on the resolutions drawn, right? How do we do that without endangering the lives of other people and the people that we're talking about and are at the center of the discussion or the issue? That's the most important thing. So look here, I didn't get to talk about cashless Bahamas Air and what are people on the family islands going to do with no access to banks, limited or non-functioning or ineffective access to telecommunication services and electricity. What are they going to do when your cashless systems are fully up and running? See, I'm ready for the 21st century, but the man from BTC tell me he cannot determine the height of the line that he's running to my house because my house is on a slope. Mind you, there is a legal minimum height that must be adhered to. So the fiber line he insists is copper is still taped to the BPL line feeding my house. So trust me, I understand. I understand entirely. Our systems are failing, and we got to do something about it. But I don't want to leave y'all on that heavy note because I found me a winter mango this weekend. I don't know where it is, but I know who have it, and I'm going to look for it. So join me in the great winter mango hunt. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next, and I'm out of here.
I came from work and needed a lock. Immediately, I began to knock. When I looked through the jealousy, what I saw drove me to insanity. I began to tremble, I began to shake. You could imagine I was like an earthquake. Caused me to change up my whole life plan of a living, the life of a saint.